from 1 John, chapter 5, 1-12. Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and anyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony of God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life.
Definitely has been an interesting journey over the past couple of weeks, having tested positive for COVID. You never think you're going to until you actually do. And we again thank you for all your prayers and support over the last couple of weeks. It's been a rough couple of weeks, but once again, thankful to having such great and loving church family around us. But what was interesting about testing positive for COVID was that I didn't actually know I had it for a little while. I mean, I felt lethargic and a bit more tired than usual, but it wasn't until I started to get a sore throat that I started to realize, oh, hang on, there's something in this. That was two symptoms: fatigue or tiredness, and then a sore throat. And it was when I woke up the following day and started to get fever and started to feel unwell that I thought I should test myself. And the test came back positive. Three key symptoms that all pointed to the reality that I had this terrible virus, this terrible disease. But it wasn't until I took the test that it confirmed it. Three key symptoms that pointed to a key real reality. Are there symptoms or attributes or things that point to the reality that we are followers of Jesus, or that someone may be a Christian? Well, that's what is woven, or the question that is woven through this book of 1 John. Are there ways, or are there certain attributes, symptoms, tests that point to the reality that someone is a follower of Jesus or not? How can we be sure of our faith? Can we be sure of our faith? Well, this is the question that's asked, and it's answered emphatically yes by the prophet John in this book of 1 John. Three key tests is probably a better way of putting it than three key symptoms, but three key tests that are woven through the fabric of this beautiful book of 1 John. Three tests that point to the reality that someone is a follower of Jesus. And those three tests are obedience or righteousness, love, and faith. John Stott puts it, theologian John Stott, obedience and righteousness is the moral test. Love is the social test, and faith or belief in Jesus is the doctrinal tests. Three key tests or symptoms, if you will, that ultimately should point to the reality that someone has faith in Jesus Christ. Three key tests that we ought to be living in our lives, which proves that we've been infiltrated, not with COVID, that's a negative thing, but with the love and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this has been the thrust of this series, and the thrust, the key themes that resonate throughout the book of 1 John. How do we know that we are children of God? Can we be assured of this? Can we be certain of our faith? How do we know that someone is a believer, a follower of Jesus? It comes from these three tests, once again, that point to a positive result that Cheryl has also been exploring through the topics of unshakable truth, unshakable zeal, unshakable love. And today, which we look at, is the final one, unshakable faith. That is what we're diving into today. As followers of Jesus, as followers of the way, we can know that we are children of the Lord Most High when we enthuse love from our lives, when we're obedient to Him by living out His commands, but also when we live out this unshakable faith, a belief in the key doctrines of our existence, namely that the historical Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. This is ultimately what faith is, and I love this definition of faith. Faith is the unshakable conviction that the Jesus of history is the Christ. Let me say that again. Faith is the unshakable conviction that the Jesus of history is the Christ. And what we see take place in our lives when we put our faith in this living reality is that we are reborn. We become children of the Lord Most High. Our faith gives birth to life. We are reborn and adopted into the family of God. New life, rebirth. And this is a key tenet, a key theme and principle of our faith, and something that Jesus himself speaks about to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of spirit, and the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the spirit." The Apostle Peter highlights the very same reality in 1 Peter chapter 1 when he says, "Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And then he goes on to say in verse 22, "Now that you have been purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart," similar to what John is saying in 1 John 5, "for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God." This is exactly what John is on about and seeking to emphasize in this last chapter of John, 1 John chapter 5, as he finishes his letter. This is what he is on about. When we make that confession of faith, our lives are transformed and we are reborn in a spiritual sense. Our earthly bodies will fade away and die, but our spiritual selves, that which makes us whole, will live on. We will receive eternal life. And these three tests or symptoms that we are speaking about, obedience or righteousness, love and our belief and our faith in Jesus Christ, these three tenets of our faith are summed up in this chapter of 1 John chapter 5. Before, John speaks about them separately and individually, but now he ties them all together. He brings them all together as one unified whole. You cannot have one without the other, and it is the new birth that ties these three themes together and in unity. What comes out of our lives ultimately should be holy and pure. Again, what came out of my life when I had COVID in a physical sense wasn't very pleasant. In my second day of having it, I was so overcome by the fever that I was vomiting constantly in the morning. I was coughing up mucus. It wasn't pleasant at all, and sorry for those who may be visual learners or getting a visual of that. But that's the reality, isn't it? When we are unwell, when we are sick, what comes out of our lives physically is disgusting. It's not very pleasant at all. And the Bible speaks about sin, this curse of sin being a disease, being a sickness that has overcome our lives. And so what comes out of our lives as a result of this sickness and this disease is disgusting and not pleasant at all. Galatians chapter 5 verses 19 to 21 speaks about what comes out of our life. It says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Flesh is another word for the sin of our lives, basically. The acts of the flesh are obvious when we flesh out sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, rivalries, divisions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. As you can see from that list, we are in need of a doctor. Amen. This is the sickness that has taken over humanity, that has taken over our lives. This is the real pandemic, not COVID, but sin. This is what we need healing from. This is what we need to be restored and redeemed from, so that what comes out of our lives is no longer evil, but pure and holy and ultimately pleasing to God. And this requires, as you are well aware, no doubt, ongoing dedication and commitment. You just can't turn up to church every once in a while and worship collectively whenever you want, or seek to read your Bible one week and just say, yes, I'm maturing as a follower of Jesus. It doesn't work like that. I spoke about a few weeks ago that one of my New Year's resolutions, as it were, is to get back into shape. I spoke about my desire to get back in shape, and as most of you are aware, it takes discipline, it takes commitment to get back in shape, doesn't it? Eating the right foods, exercise, setting goals. It's not just one thing you do one week, it's an ongoing commitment. The same is true for our spiritual lives. Discipleship is a lifelong journey. Dedication to God daily and making the effort to grow in a spiritual sense, to mature in a spiritual sense. When we put in the hard yards, when we put in the foundations, the Holy Spirit takes care of the rest, so that what comes out of our life isn't what I just spoke about, but holy and pleasing to God. Some of the ideas that you may want to put in mind is journaling. When you meditate on God's word, not just read it, but meditate on it. Journal what God is saying to you. Maybe set goals for what you want to achieve in 6 months' time. I don't want to join in needless gossip when I hear my friends gossiping and putting other people down. I want the strength to refrain from that. I don't want to look at a woman lustfully every time a attractive woman walks past me. Some of our men may want to put that into practice. I want to have the strength to practice self-control and not get angry when someone cuts me off in traffic, because if I get angry there, it's evidently going to manifest itself in at home or in the workplace, in my relationships. These are sort of some of the goals that we want to start to see ourselves growing in and developing and maturing in, so that when we come to these moments, we'll say, I've been there before, I've done that, I've done the hard yards, God's been at work in my life, I'm not going to go down that path. This is what spiritual growth looks like, amen. This is what John is seeking to see in authors and Christian, in his readers, in Christians everywhere. Growth, maturity, obedience, love. But some of us may be thinking, I just don't have time to spend with God. I'm just so flat out. Well, maybe getting up 30 minutes earlier in your day, or cutting out 30 minutes of that binge watching on Netflix, or reading the Bible in your car, or listening to the Bible in your car on your way to work, reading on the train. There are ways that we can put this in place or put things in place so that we prioritize God in our life. But that is what it comes back to, amen. If Jesus Christ is not number one in your life, if he is not the number one priority, then you're not going to bother with any of this, because other things are outweighing your relationship with God or getting in the way of your relationship with God. It needs to be a conscious decision, a daily conscious decision that Jesus Christ is going to be number one in my life today, because that is how we grow, amen. That is how we mature as disciples of Jesus and ultimately grow so that we may overcome the world. Which is another emphasis in this passage of John, 1 John chapter 5. Ultimately, we need to learn to detach ourselves from the ways of this world and reattach and realign ourselves to God and His ways, His statutes. This is John's emphasis in verses 4 and 5. In fact, this is the love for God to keep His commands. Or this is love for God to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. They're not. This is something that the Pharisees did and what Jesus came to speak against and to abolish. The Pharisees and the religious leaders put extra laws and regulations on top of God's laws that it became impossible to live up to. But God's laws are not burdensome. And that is the truth, that they are hard to live out, but His commands are not burdensome. They're freeing, they're life-giving. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Once again, there's this strong emphasis on our faith and our belief. And from there should come obedience to whatever God commands of us. And what ought to come out of that is love for Him, a loving relationship with Him, but also a love for His children. Because whoever loves God ought to love God's children. Amen. It is the belief, the doctrinal test, this belief in Jesus Christ, which should then result in us testing positive to the social and moral tests as well. Amen. This is what should be coming out of our lives. And this is what, again, John is pointing to. He is speaking ultimately to a people that are discouraged, which we looked at in our first week. People that live in an uncertain world. It sounds very similar to the kind of world we're living in at the moment, amen? We live in uncertain times, probably the most unstable and uncertain and most confusing that it's ever been. But into this world of uncertainty, this is John's point to his readers back when he was writing to them, in this time of uncertainty and chaos, the Christian faith, Christianity, can breathe an air of certainty into this world, amen? And we are the ones to take it to them. We are the ones to take this message in to the world, because this life that we've been speaking about ultimately is our testimony. This is what John goes on to speak about. Faith gives birth to life, and this life is our testimony. This life is our testimony. This is what John goes on to speak about. In verses 6 to 12, we accept human testimony. But God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which He has given us about His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We are called to testify to this life. Amen. But also how His life has transformed our very own. This is how we ultimately come to place our faith in Jesus Christ. From the outset, it is from testimony. It is by and through testimony, as John points out, God's own testimony of His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He came to accomplish. Who we hear through someone else's personal testimony. Ultimately, testimony is the cause and the consequence of our belief, amen? Testimony is the cause and the consequence of our belief. We can only put our faith in Jesus Christ because of God's own testimony that He Himself reveals to us. In the court of law, the courtroom, this is John's point again, if we are on the jury, if we hear a credible human testimony or an eyewitness account, we're going to believe it, aren't we? That's how it generally works. Well, aren't we, if we believe human testimony, shouldn't we believe God's own testimony even more? God's own testimony of what He achieved through His Son, Jesus. And those verses of verses 6 to 8 where he speaks about the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. It's a little ambiguous as to what he's speaking about here with the water and the blood, but most commentators believe that he's referring to Jesus' baptism and his death, the water and the blood of Jesus Christ. And these events testify to the reality that he truly is the Son of God, Christ the Messiah, the very fulfillment of what was prophesied all those years ago. This is God's testimony. When we accept Jesus into our life by faith, we accept this testimony. And this is the testimony, John says in verse 11, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. In many ways, it is not our testimony, but God's testimony to us. It is his salvation plan, his redemptive action in our lives, his story that he then imparts to us and that we ought to then pass on to others. Amen. That is how someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ, ultimately through born testimony. And that testimony ought to start and end with God. In fact, it does. It starts and it ends with God. Faith gives birth to life, new life. Again, we are reborn, adopted into God's own household as families, as a family of believers. And this life, this very life is our testimony. Amen. So who are you going to share this news with today? What opportunities do you have to share this news with others this week? For those who may not be certain of what to say, it really is a simple story. It really is a simple structure at the end of the day. Speak about what your life was like before Christ entered your life, before you accepted Christ into your life. How it came about that you came to accept Jesus into your life. And finally, what is your life like now as a result? Ultimately, how have you overcome the world? It's a simple structure to keep to if you're uncertain of what to say in those moments. Someone asks you why you follow Jesus or why you go to church. Well, this is what I was like before. Then I experienced Jesus, I was overcome with him, I put my faith in him, and now this is my life now as a result. This is God's testimony in your life. And I think John Stott summarizes this chapter brilliantly when he says, Christian believers are God's children, born from above. God's children are loved by all who love God. Those who love God also keep his commands. They keep his commands because they overcome the world, and they overcome the world because they are Christian believers born from above. We've been seeking to show in this series, Unshakable, how we can approach it that way because of this unshakable truth of Jesus Christ, and as a result of his unshakable love for us, that we then ought to approach this with an unshakable zeal and devotion to him, because this is our unshakable faith. Amen. And this ought to lead us into a life of obedience and righteousness. It ought to lead us into a loving relationship with God ultimately, and for God's children as well. And ultimately, it should mobilize us, it should move us to want to share this story, to share this incredible faith wholeheartedly with this world. Let us pray that that may be the case. Well, Father God, as we reflect on the reality of this message here today, the reality of your word and the themes and that which John is seeking to communicate, we pray, Father God, that we would take this on board, that we would seek to live it out and ultimately come to share our faith and be obedient in doing that and sharing our faith with those in our life who don't know you. Bless us, Lord. Give us clarity as to what our testimony is, how you have ultimately changed our lives. And again, may you continue to do a work in us that we may grow to overcome this world and everything in it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.